talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com. This is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go. Oh, I wanna go. Every fear is gone. I'm in your open arms, where I belong. Where I belong. I'm going
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was Chris Tomlin with Home, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Taryn Berger. Well, in addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which takes place every January, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which typically happens every August. And we also organize the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, which happens every April. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with Tommy Welch. He is a painting contractor with First Class Painting and Restoration. And this is a very interesting interview talking about maintaining your home and what simple steps you can take to so that you don't have to repaint your home so often. So we'll be talking with Tommy Welch, and also another very interesting interview with Rob Vidian. He's with Low Country Foundation Repair, and he's got some great tips on how to save money on your energy costs by encapsulating your crawl space. And some of the advantages, how to make your house more comfortable when you encapsulate your crawl space. Have a great weekend. And now joining us on the phone is Tommy Welch with First Class Painting and Restoration. How you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing well, Tim. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Tommy, first of all, take a moment and tell everybody about First Class Painting and Restoration.
Certainly. So First Class Painting and Restoration has been around the Low Country since 2003. We're a family-owned and operated business and have been since we've started. We've been with Charleston Home Design now going close to, 7 years now? 8 years? It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Have had the privilege of, servicing a ton of clientele from Charleston Home Design, which is always great. And we are a one-stop shop from basically anything and everything from your carpentry to your drywall, and then of course the painting aspect of your life we handle. So whether that's for your home or for your business, First Class Painting and Restoration is that company that you can lean on to take care of any of your painting and home updating needs.
Yeah, and when it comes to painting, it's all in the prep work, and the painting doesn't take a lot of time. It takes a lot of talent, but it's all of the prep work that goes into it. And you just mentioned several different trades that first class painting and restoration is capable of performing, because you're right. It's you show up to a job when you're doing like an exterior painting, an exterior of a home. Do you usually start with a pressure wash?
Yeah, that's correct. And then, you know, normally once that wash is done, then you kind of go into the, oh my goodness, I've got some wood here that needs to be replaced, or I've got some caulking here, or there, you know, there may be hardware there. So to make a long story short, we've got, you know, the folks on our staff that can handle just about anything and everything on the carpentry side, you know, to handle that that preparation of the surfaces before we get into paint.
Yeah, because it's normal to encounter some wood rot maybe on the outside of the home and that kind of thing, and rather than bring in another contractor to make those fixes, first class painting and restoration, you folks have got skilled carpenters on staff that takes care of that?
That's correct. That is correct.
Good deal. And for the exterior of a home, how much guidance do you give a homeowner in terms of what colors to paint the exterior of their home? Because certain paint colors will hold up longer and not fade as quickly as other colors, right?
Yeah, that's right. And we're partnered locally with both, you know, Spectrum and Sherwin-Williams. So we have the ability to bring in, you know, representation to, you know, assist with what is going to be the best product. And, you know, the Lowcountry is beautiful, but it is definitely a very harsh environment on exterior surfaces. So really having a good quality product and having a little bit of background on what product it is going to be, you know, applied is a big deal. And it's an investment, right? Like everybody's, it's not cheap to get the exterior, you know, of your home painted. So you really want to make sure when you do it, hopefully you only have to do it, you know, once or twice, you know, over the course of a 5 to 7 or 10 year period, depending on, you know, the substrates that you're painting. But that's where you really need to make sure that who you have and who you're hiring is somebody that's going to be there next year, can come out, you know what I mean, and properly address if there is any issues going on. Oh, and by the way, having representation of a good local, you know, Sherwin-Williams or Spectrum Paint Company is definitely, you know, leaps and bounds, you know, really big asset to whatever paint contractor that you're using.
Yeah, they always say don't ever cheap out on the paint, and I know that's a big product that the big box stores sell. In fact, most the big box stores usually put their paint department right in the middle of their store because it's such a popular item for homeowners DIY projects. And But not to denigrate any other paint brands, but a lot of times the paint brands that you do find in big box stores are not the same ones that professional paint contractors purchase. They purchase the higher end quality paints, right? Like Sherwin-Williams.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, and it goes, you know, goes without saying that at the end of the day, you know, you want, as a painting contractor, or whoever it is that you hire, especially whatever product it is that you're putting on, you want to have somebody or something that's going to back that product up. And that's one of the biggest reasons why we, you know, most painting contractors that are professional are always going to lean on that higher end product, because it truly is not only is the warranty, you know, going to be better, but in all honesty, the finish is going to end up being better, which in turn looks better on the company, right? That's kind of how it goes.
Are those two brands that you mentioned, Sherwin-Williams and Benjamin Moore, are those the two brands that First Class Painting and Restoration typically
uses?
Yeah,
I would say we, out of 100 jobs, 99 of them is going to have either one or the other. Sometimes every once in a while we'll get a designer, or we'll get a homeowner that maybe from a different area that has had experience with a paint brand that's not local. But out of 100 jobs, 99 of them are either going to have a Sherwin product on it or a Ben Moore product on it.
You know, when you look at the side of the can, paint can, it'll say 15-year, 20-year warranty, 25, whatever. But realistically, in our environment here in the Charleston area, which a lot of times you hear builders and architects will describe our environment here as harsh, which is kind of hard to imagine, because it's such a beautiful place and we have sunshine, you know, most days and of the year, but it is harsh. We've got salt air. We've got a lot of heat and a lot of direct sunlight on, and that can really take a toll on a paint coating on the exterior of a home, right?
Yeah, not to mention moisture. I mean, we get a lot of rain too.
Humidity,
so, you know, there's
right.
there's a lot of variables that go into that. And that's a, you know, and it's funny you say that, because the, you know, at the end of the day, the warranty's only as good as whoever's willing to back it. And, you know, a paint can slap on, you know, any number they want to slap on. But if you know anything, or if you have any experience on any of this stuff, normally the things that you want the warranty on are going to be excluded. So for instance, fading. There's no paint in the world that's going to have a warranty on the fade. So with that being said, you know, for a paint can to tell you you're going to get 10, 15, or 50, or lifetime, right? Like, that's my favorite, lifetime warranty on the paint. Does that mean that you're never going to paint your house? And in all honesty, it's a farce. It's not real, especially in our neck of the woods. So now, one of the things that we've done to combat that, that's different than most companies, is when you hire first class to do an actual exterior paint job, you actually get a one-year maintenance warranty that comes with that. So what that does is that means on the day that we finish your exterior paint job, we'll return the following year. That's included in your project as a wash and a touch up on that job. So that then allows that refreshness of that paint job to, in all honesty, last longer. Now, whether you choose to, you know, continue that maintenance after that, that's entirely an option. That's up to you. But for me, myself and I, if there were any words of advice that I'd give all of our homeowners, our builders, and our retail clients, is make sure that you put some dollars aside for maintenance. Because if you don't want to have that large investment of having to repaint your home in 2 years or 5 years or 7 years, then you got to make sure that you're taking some money to maintenance it, which means washing it, resealing everything that needs to be resealed. What I mean by that is caulking. And then, in all honesty, having some good touch-up in areas that are necessary. I don't think the whole entire house is going to need touch up, but there's always going to be your problematic areas that need to get readdressed on a yearly basis. For instance, your walking surfaces, your surfaces that your hands are on, surfaces that are near dripping of water. So for instance, around your gutter, your downspouts, your eaves, that kind of stuff. Those are areas that are prone to have some paint failure, which can lead to bigger problems. So you really want to make sure you take some time and adequately maintenance whatever it is that you're having painted.
Is that a good way for homeowners to ultimately extend the
100%
the code
100%. Yeah, if you want to extend the life of the paint job that you just invested in, you have to make sure that you're properly maintaining it 100%.
And it's surprising, isn't it? Like when you do go back and you pressure wash that house again, there's going to be paint that's going to chip off. There's going to be some rot that you're going to find that may not have been rotted wood a year ago when you did the original paint job, but you're finding it's small things, and you're keeping up with the problems rather than just sitting there. So it's not a matter of just saying, okay, my house is painted, I don't have to worry about that for the next 10 years.
Right.
You're
100%. Yeah, you're 100% correct. And it's part of home ownership, right? Like, maintenance is just part of it. And if you really want to avoid those big, large expenses and those big bills, that's the easiest way to do it, is to micro it, you know, just kind of manage it. You know, even, you know, nowadays we have so much technology, you can set calendar events and planners and all that kind of stuff. It would definitely behoove you to make sure that, I would say realistically, at least once a year. Most places I think twice a year would be even better, but you really need to make sure that you wash your house and make sure all the windows, the doors have a good ceiling. Make sure that you don't have any paint failure, like on your handrails and that kind of stuff, that will lead to wood rot. And nobody wants that, because that's where the big bills come from.
Now, when you pressure wash, do you, let's say you're the initial one before you do the painting on the exterior, and then the pressure wash you do a year later, is there a difference? Are you blasting away with that pressure washer each time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So preparation of a power wash for a paint job is definitely different than a maintenance. So, you'll hear the term a lot, soft rinse or soft wash. That's typically what our maintenance paint jobs consist of, because they're literally just allowing a product to take care of any mold or mildew, you know, that's on a home. And then it has a light rinse that goes on top of it. Whereas if you're preparing, you know, if you're preparing a surface for exterior painting, a lot of times there may be failing paint that you need to get off prior to that paint application. So you could use a good 2,500 EO PSI power washer. Of course, you're not going to get right on it, you know what I mean, and cause more further damage, which we see all the time. But you definitely have to have enough pressure that's going to get any of the failing paint that, you know, that's having some adhesion issues. You definitely want to get that off of there before you do any kind of preparation of paint.
Does first class painting and restoration, do you use those long wands to pressure wash, or do you climb a ladder to get close?
So our trucks and vans are all equipped with ladders, but our power washers, you know, we do have long extension wands as well. So just depending on the particular home and what angle it is that we're trying to do in order for, whether it's painting or maintenance, we have, you know, all the necessary equipment, tools, and procedures in order to make that happen.
Now, you mentioned a couple of minutes ago about that every no matter what paint color you put on a house, it will fade. But there is a term in the paint world called light reflective value. And if you look on the back of a paint chip when you're in like Sherwin-Williams or Spectrum paints, it'll have a number on the back and the number, I can't remember if it's a lower number or a higher number, but it indicates how much light is going to be reflected off of the paint color versus how much will be absorbed. And certain paint colors are better, will hold up to fading better than other paint colors, right?
That's absolutely correct. And it, you know, a lot of times the color palettes that we have here in Charleston, you know, especially your pastels and, you know, your battery colors and colors that everybody loves, a lot of those are going to be able to handle, you know, I mean, a lot more bouncing light. Whereas you go with a yellow, for instance, or a red, you know, God bless you, right? If you're going with an exterior red color in Charleston, I mean, you may have a fade after, to be honest with you, depending the heat and the sun, you may see fade after a couple weeks, to be completely honest. So it really does matter what exterior color you're choosing to go with in order to get the longevity of your paint job, that's for sure.
Yeah, and yellow always surprises me because it's such a light color. If you wore a yellow shirt out on a hot, sunny day, it's not going to heat up. Your shirt's not going to heat up as much as if you're wearing, say, like a blue or a dark green or something.
Correct.
But yellow
correct.
Does...
Definitely.
Yellow does,
it does
paint.
Fade. It's definitely it's notorious for doing so, you know, that, and that's again why, you know, just having a professional painting contractor along with the assistance of a representative of either Sherwin or Spectrum or Ben Moore, it's just such a huge angle for you to assist on getting the best bang for your buck. And you may wake up one day and want your house to be one particular color, and that's fine, but that one particular color may last either longer or shorter than what you're willing to invest in, and you really want to make sure you do some homework before you pull the trigger on a color.
Are you familiar with the Sherwin-Williams historic Charleston colors, Buckskin?
We are, yes sir, we sure are. We do, as you can imagine, with all of the downtown projects that we do, we kind of point and click a lot to that because all of those are already colors that are approved by the ARB downtown, so it saves a lot of painstaking sampling and having them come out. So yes sir, I'm very familiar with the majority of that color chart.
Yeah, that's what we have in our house, Buckskin, and we picked that specifically because it had a I can't remember either a high or a low it reflects the light and is not supposed to fade, and it hasn't faded. So and it's like you can imagine what it might look like, a buckskin, a deer
sure.
skin, kind of like a tannish kind of color. But it's held up very, very well, and it gets direct sunlight every single day for the last 11 years. Haven't had to recoat it, which is really good.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Now, Tommy, we haven't really touched on any interior projects. What kinds of interior paint projects can first-class painting and restoration help with?
So interiors are pretty much the specialty of what first-class is known for because of the preparation and the procedure above and beyond what what the standard for most painting contractors are, but we handle any and all of your you know, any type of repaints, you know, in the interior, whether it's changing colors or finishes or sheens, but also all the way up to the high-end stuff as far as lacquering, you know, of kitchens and glazing cabinets and, you know, transforming those old dated stained cabinets to something that's new and lighter is kind of a really big niche that First Class Painting and Restoration has been known for quite a while now. And then, of course, you're updating, you know, removing popcorn ceilings, right? The dreaded popcorn acoustic ceilings. We do a ton of that and have been for years and years and years. And it still seems that whenever we think we've got it licked where there's no more houses with popcorn, we always seem to get them. That's for sure. They're still all over the place. That's for sure.
Why did they ever start that whole thing? Why did was it just to because they didn't want to hire somebody skilled at doing drywall?
It's a great question. I think there's a lot of different factors that went into it, but I definitely think that, you know, 9 out of 10 times the preparation to do an acoustic ceiling as opposed to a slick ceiling is definitely night and day. I will just leave it at you that, but it definitely is a growing trend and a work order that we see consistently, weekly and monthly that we have. Like, you know, right now we have a humongous project that's going on right now. It's 4,000 square feet of popcorn ceiling removal. I mean, that's a big project. So it doesn't matter whether, and I wish I could tell you it was in like a certain neighborhood or a certain state or a certain area, but really in all honesty, it's definitely prevalent a lot more so than what you would imagine.
It's a certain time period. I think it was maybe the 70s or 80s that was popular.
That's correct. That is absolutely 100% correct.
It's a messy, messy job to take out that popcorn ceiling too, isn't it?
It really is. It definitely helps when you have homes that are vacant, you know what I mean, that you're able to plastic out and kind of create bubbles in order to get all that stuff to go away. But you're exactly right. It is not a job for the faint of heart, that is for sure.
What do you use, like a water spray bottle to kind of moisten that popcorn ceiling and then scrape it off?
We've had some experience doing some different, you know, procedures of what's the most effective and efficient way to do it without creating a total disaster. But you know, moisture on that definitely tends to help, you know, keep it slick. That's for sure.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned repainting kitchen cabinets because a lot of people have cabinets, either they're stained, which is sort of a dated look. My mother, my 78-year-old mother, loves stained, you know, cabinets, but a lot of people today want that painted look. And that's not a do-it-yourself project either, is it, Tommy?
It's really not if you want to go with a durable product that's going to last. I mean, a lot of times homeowners, unfortunately, are DIYers, will, you know, go to Lowe's or their local Home Depot and pick up, you know, a primer and a latex paint, and then before you know it, they have an absolute disaster on their hands from trying to do a do-it-yourself project. So if there was ever a project that you wanted to really hire a professional painter to do, it's going to be refinish your cabinets. For instance, like, you know, the products that we use is lacquer. Well, lacquer is not something that you can just learn in a day, and it's not something that you just go to a local paint store and buy and go home and paint it with a you know, a roller and a brush. So you're absolutely right to where, you know, it's the equivalent of furniture painting. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it is. I mean, a lacquer is a very high end, very hard finish, but it's also a very it's a product that has an odor that a lot of times you don't want to be in the house for, if I'll put it to you that way. So there's some things that come with it. You know, it's beautiful and it is a great product and it's super durable. And at the end of the day, 9 out of 10 cabinets that we do have lacquer finishes on them because of the durability that you get from them. That's for sure.
And you just mentioned DIYers. Does First Class Painting and Restoration, rescue some DIYer projects?
All the time. It is definitely a very common call to get, hey, fun. It is not real fun. Please come help me.
I tried it and it turned out terrible and I wasted all this time. Now I need you to come in and fix it.
Yeah, and a lot of times, unfortunately, that means you got to go backwards to go forwards. You know, popcorn and ceiling is a prime example. You know, you get a DIYer that goes in there that's never done that before, and they gouge the ceiling, or worse, you know, they're leaving, you know, a ton of the acoustic left. I mean, we literally would have to go backwards before we could go forward. So now you've cost yourself more time, more money, more effort, more headache, and probably more material, instead of just picking up the phone and making a phone call.
Yeah, do it right the first time. Call a professional like First Class Painting and Restoration. And Tommy, how can folks get in touch with First Class Painting and Restoration?
So phone number is pretty easy here in the Lowcountry. If you're anywhere in the 843 area code, all you got to do is just dial 1-800-PAINTING. That goes straight to the office. Jessica will pick up the phone and get you booked. Heaven forbid if that doesn't work, we have an alternate phone number, which is 843-324-6006. And you can find us on the internet at firstclasscharleston.com. And that's 1-STCLASS, charleston.com.
And if you need help picking out your paint colors, which a lot of homeowners do, your wife assists with that, right? She's the design consultant?
Yeah, so that's correct. We actually are one of the few painting contracting companies that actually have an in-house designer on staff. And she actually handles a lot more than just color consultations. She also handles all the kitchen updates, all the bathroom updates, so tile selections, draperies, colors, textures, wall coverings, anything and everything that has to do with interior design. Melinda, you know, can certainly help you out with that.
Everybody wants some extra value these days at a lower price, and First Class Painting and Restoration, you folks are definitely providing a lot of extra value, so definitely give them a call. Well, we've been talking with Tommy Welch with First Class Painting and Restoration. Thanks so much for taking the time, Tommy.
Thank you, sir. You guys have a great rest of the summer.
And joining us on the phone is Rob Vidian with Lowcountry Foundation Repair. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. Thanks for reaching out to me.
You bet. Rob, take a moment and tell everybody about Lowcountry Foundation Repair.
Okay, so Lowcountry Foundation Repair, we started in business probably about 22 years ago under a different name. We started in the cleaning and restoration business under Clean USA Incorporated. And over time, we realized that our specialty was in the waterproofing and moisture control and foundation repair side. And so we ended up changing our name again Lowcountry Basement Systems, and still under the same incorporation. And we grew that company, and we realized that the brand, we kept hearing the message that, hey, there's no basements here. And we realized, you know, that's true. There's not a lot of basements in the majority of the area that we serve, because we serve a large territory. And so we said, you know what? We need to go ahead and rebrand again. And so we ended up rebranding to Lowcountry Foundation Repair this last year. And it has been a great decision on our part. We have thousands of clients that we've served over the years, but this new brand really fits, because we're mainly addressing the foundation-related issues of a home on a regular basis, and people just don't ask that question anymore. There's no basements here. So even if we're called out for a basement in one of our other regions, they don't question, oh, why are you fixing a basement with a foundation repair company?
So, right. Well, tell me, what is it about the foundation that Lowcountry Foundation Repair will correct?
Okay, so in our company, in our region, we focus on the crawl space related issues that are moisture control related. So consider a house. We build a house on a slab, and most of the time people aren't dealing with wood rot and moisture and mold because their house is on a slab. It's a solid foundation, and there's no air gap in between. Well, a long time ago, people decided to build homes with a crawl space, which is essentially an open outdoor space underneath your home. Mm-hmm. Which, and then they put components and air conditioning systems and ductwork, and you know, we have extreme temperatures and humidities and moisture and water issues, and wood just does not do well in an open air environment. If you were to take a piece of 2x4 and just lay it out in the yard, over time it's going to rot, it's going to sag. So we essentially transform those crawl space areas and turn them into more like a sealed, insulated, conditioned space, so that the home will stop degrading and the problems such as mold and moisture and wood rot will stop. And so that's one of the solutions. And then if you've already got those problems, you already got sagging floors, already got rotten wood, we actually go in and restructure and rebuild the subfloor systems and put in support systems and lift floors back up. So we really handle a majority of the structural and moisture and water related issues in a crawl space area under thousands of homes we fixed.
What are some of the telltale signs that a homeowner will experience if they're having some problems in their crawl space and they need to call Low Country Foundation Repair?
Yeah, so the first thing that most people notice is if they're having moisture issues under the home, is they'll notice some maybe changes in the smell of the home, some musty smells, maybe cupping floors, which if you have wood floors, you might see cupping, or maybe some kind of like soft areas of the floor. You know, a lot of our homes are so tightly put together now, and certain finishes will not allow moisture to flow through or out of. Like a wood floor, it's going to cup and it's going to let that moisture release into the home. Linoleum floor won't let any moisture out. It's like putting a plastic barrier over a floor, and it'll rot the floor before any moisture comes out. Tile floor can be very similar in that. But, you know, that's just related to moisture. That's the first thing. Another thing that someone might notice if they're having rot or sagging is they might see that there's a door sticking or the floor is kind of bouncy. In those situations, they need to act as fast as they can because there's a problem. Cracks don't show up in drywall, and sagging floors are not normal. Those are caused by degradation of the structure underneath, and it's just a matter of time for it to even get worse.
Gotcha. And so if we do have some unstable soil in the Charleston area, and so it's sort of common. I see a lot of building permits that are issued for people that are repairing their foundation. So the foundation of a crawl space that might shift or something and that's going to ultimately cause some cracking in your walls, or like you said, the doors might not close exactly, or you could put a marble down in the floor and it might roll on its own across a room, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we fix homes that have sinking or settling foundations every single day. The challenge with that is making sure that the right solution has been recommended. It's not just one size fits all. Each home has to be considered based on the condition that it's experiencing and the type of solution that needs to be recommended. So we cater our solutions to the problem, not just this is a problem, let's stick a pier in it. This is a problem, let's do this. So we look for what's causing the problem. What's the best piering solution that we can offer for settling foundations? And each project can be very different. You know, some outside walls that are on like a pier home, they can't just go and put in a surface mounted pier to support it. They have to have a pier that goes deep and actually ties into the structure because of lateral movement. So there's a lot to consider when choosing a company and making sure you're doing the right thing for your foundation. So make sure you have an expert that's out there evaluating it.
I'm just kind of curious, but like, what are some of the nasty critters or creatures that you folks have come across underneath the house in the crawl space?
Well, I can speak personally to coming up against not against, but coming up and being very close to raccoons, a lot of vermin such as rats and mice. Rat snakes. I actually caught a king snake, which is actually not a bad snake. Rat snakes and king snake, you don't want them under your house or in your house. But I caught a king snake, and they're known to eat poisonous snakes. So I caught them put them out of the house. And that's not something my guys are interested in doing, but I kind of know a lot about the snakes that are under homes. Because I was worried about what I was coming across, I wanted to know. So if our team come in and there's something that's not safe for them, they will say, hey, we have to pull off temporarily and you have to get a critter control company to come in and get these guys out of here because we don't want anybody getting hurt. But I've had black widows that we've seen, brown recluse, every kind of snake you can think of. We've had a water moccasin underneath the crawl space before. I haven't seen any alligators underneath, which I'm thankful for that. there's so many different kind of critters, you know, armadillos that have literally, turtles and stuff that have burrowed underneath the foundation of a house and ended up in a crawl space. Opossum. I've actually seen an opossum firsthand. They don't like to stay in there once you get in there. And we don't hang out with them, but when they see that there's a person in there, they like to get out pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So.
I think I've experienced all of those different critters that you just mentioned underneath houses that I've owned over the years here in the Charleston area. So it's definitely not an area of the home that a homeowner wants to go crawling around in there. What's it like? Kind of paint a picture for our listeners when your guys go underneath a home, because some of those crawl spaces can be, you know, 2 or 3 feet high, and other ones are maybe just a foot off the ground. I mean, what's it yeah. like when they go underneath there and they're crawling? It's what's the temperature like? What are they feeling and seeing?
So I'll go from the perspective first of an inspector, someone that's coming and talking to a homeowner. You know, our team members, when they're evaluating, they'll go in and they'll crawl. First of all, they'll meet the homeowner and they'll get, you know, find out where the access points are, but they'll put a full suit on. Some of the guys wear, you know, hand protection and full respirators and full suits, and they'll go under and they'll take a headlamp, go in on with a headlamp and a cell phone to capture pictures. And they'll do a full circle evaluation and check every area of the crawl space looking for potential concerns that the homeowner might want to know about. And sometimes we find things that don't have anything to do with what we do, and we just help the homeowner understand those and just make them aware to them. But that when they're crawling in, they're kind of making some noise, trying to make sure whatever's in there is not wanting to be right where they're at. And you go in sometimes and you got to crawl underneath a beam or underneath a piece of ductwork, and you can't see what's on the other side until you get to the other side. There's sometimes we go under a house and the house is in the kind of shape where they have to be careful where they're going, because the floor might literally have the potential of caving in on top of them. I know that sounds crazy that something could get that bad, but the rot sometimes happens pretty aggressively with moisture underneath homes. So they go around and they're peeking around and taking pictures, and they've got lights and they're documenting what's underneath there, where the piers are, where the beams are, how the joists are running, where the duct systems are running. And they're just looking at everything to get a full picture, so that when our installation team is meeting with the inspector that helped the homeowner with a solution, they can say, look, I've talked to the homeowner about this. This is what you're going to run up against in this area. And they take good, clear pictures of all that. We've crawled in crawl spaces that have a foot of water, like in the crawl space. Hadn't wow. rained in a week, and they're like flooded with water. We've had some that are bone dry, look bone dry, but the moisture is all up in the space. Like the ground looks like powder, but the rot is still happening up in the joist systems, and then mold growing all over the place. And so, I mean, they get into some really unhealthy environments. So they try to wear proper PPE wherever necessary to protect themselves. Because, you know, I've never been bit by a brown recluse, but I have seen brown recluse and and Black Widows in a lot of crawl spaces, because mm-hmm. it's kind of like that private space that's not really out around. You don't normally see a Black Widow and a Brown Recluse out in the open. They're normally in those hidden dark spaces. And you know, every once in a while, our guys will take a picture and they'll say, look at this guy I found in here. And they'll have a big old rat snake that they've seen in the crawl space. And, you know, after you've gone under about 1,000 homes, nothing really surprises you anymore and you don't freak out. But that first time, it's like a heart attack when you run across something you didn't expect.
Yeah, a lot of rubble underneath there too, right?
A lot of what?
A lot of rubble.
Oh, yeah. Depending on the, I mean, we've seen projects where maybe a flipper went in. I shouldn't use that. That's probably not fair to categorize.
House flipper.
Someone went in and like literally cut all the floor systems out and dumped them straight down into the crawl space and built new on top. Like, seriously, not joking. Like, cut all the floor systems out, all the wood floors, and dropped it down into the crawl space, and then built, you know, put in plywood floors over the top and put new floors on top. But they left all of their debris instead of calling it off. So that was like a termite haven, because all that debris was down there. And so all that new subfloor that was put in had termite tubes that were going right up and attacking the subfloor. I've seen an entire, I don't know, like a chimney full of brick that was stored underneath the crawl space. I've seen a toilet. I am no joke. I've seen a toilet, full-size toilet, underneath a crawl space. The weirdest thing that I ever heard about in one of our team was doing an inspection on a home, was that there was a man living underneath a home, and he had a mini home built underneath the crawl space with pizza boxes.
Jeez.
And that was the most, you know, the inspector said he had to leave because the guy wasn't properly clothed and he felt uncomfortable. But, you know, that's kind of a unique, weird situation. And I think that's only happened once. But there's all kinds of strange things that you see underneath the house.
When the original foundation for the crawl space was built, a lot of times those guys will be, they're building it with brick or block, and they just leave the pieces, in the crawl space. They figured, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind. So yeah, a lot of stuff underneath there. And does Low Country Foundation Repair, do you folks encapsulate crawl spaces?
Absolutely. That's really one of the largest parts of our company. We have thousands of homeowners, like, over the years, that are protected under our warranties for crawl space encapsulation. So, you know, the idea of encapsulating is not just throw a piece of plastic underneath the house. That's not encapsulation. The idea of encapsulation is changing the environment and turning it into similar to an indoor environment. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's not just plastic, it's sealed, everything sealed properly, making sure if there's a water issue that the water issue has been addressed first, putting insulated walls up if the homeowner chooses that. You know, often we'll insulate the walls with a fire rated foam panel and then bring our encapsulation up to that. And every one of our projects that I've done that we've sold, we recommend controlling the humidity underneath the home with a dehumidifier. And we have, through our network, we have one of the best warranties available for a dehumidifier. It's called the Sanidry Sedona. And that's the only product we install. It's the only product we warranty. And we just, if there was ever an issue with the dehumidifier within the warranty period, we can either get it repaired, or we could, if there's an issue that can't be repaired, they replace it. And so I don't have any issues with any of our product line. We have a workmanship warranty if there's ever an issue. I guess it comes down to our values. You know, one of our values is one experience, and essentially it comes down to doing the right thing. As a company, that's how we explain one experience, is when there's a problem, we don't ignore it. We don't hide from it. We don't push it off on the homeowner. We don't push it off on someone else. If it's something that we're responsible for, even if it costs us, we're going to take care of it. And that happens, you know, even with the best companies. There's no perfection out there. But if there's an issue, we take care of it.
Excuse me. When Low Country Foundation Repair, when you folks encapsulate a crawl space, I would guess you do have to clear out all of the rubble, all of the debris that's underneath the house to begin with, and then kind of paint a picture for our listeners, like what you're bringing in a thick how would you describe it? You're basically putting a thick floor down and up the sides of the crawl space. Is that right?
Yeah, that's very close. Essentially, we have different levels of protection for homeowners and what they want. You know, if they have a water issue, we'll go in and put in a specialized drainage system called HydroLink XG. And essentially, it's a custom drainage system that no one else have access to but us in this region. And it's a pipe that is designed, and it will allow water flow into it 65% more efficient than a sock pipe. We used to put sock pipe in.
What's a sock pipe?
Sock pipe's like a drain pipe that has holes in it and like a sock on the outside.
Okay.
And it worked in most situations, but sometimes the pipe would float or it would, and we'd had maintenance issues with it. So we'd have to go back and fix it. And it wasn't also a product that we could go in and easily clean out if there was an issue. So we as a company said, hey, if we're going to do something, we're going to be the best at it. We're going to have the best products. We converted over to a drainage system called HydroLink XG. We have clean outs that are available for us to be able to go in and look in our clean outs and say, oh, yep, looks all clear and good. But if there was ever any problem with it, we can literally go in our system, push all the debris out down to the sump system, clean the sump system out, and we're good to go again. So we don't have any issues with our drainage systems that have been installed with HydroLink XG. So that product, very important, is put in if there's a water issue. Sometimes we can't always identify a water issue because it didn't show up when we came for the inspection. There wasn't something that was clear. And then an anomaly comes in and we get a heavy rain. Next thing you know, we got to put in a sump, you know, for a homeowner that didn't necessarily know that they needed one. But anyway, so HydroLink XG, and then we do a product called Drainage Mat if they have a water issue, because we want water to be able to flow over the surface under our liner system and to the drains and end up at the sump. And that is a durable, kind of like dimpled sheet that lifts up the liner probably about an inch. And then you've got our 20 mil reinforced 7-layer liner called Clean Space Liner. And that liner essentially has 7 layers. So there's reinforcement layers. There's low-density polyethylene, high-density polyethylene. There's also a product called Ultra Fresh, which is essentially a mold inhibitor. It has a backing that's a blue layer and a white, bright white layer. Our white layer is the layer that we show on the top. And if you take this product, you can't tear it. It's not like some bubble wrap material that we see a lot of times that people put in. It's not like a house wrap material. This material is designed specifically to last. We warranty it for 25 years, but the reality is this stuff's going to be around 50 years. Mm-hmm. So why put in something that's not going to last? We replace these other so-called systems all the time because somebody crawls over it and a hole gets in it, and now that eliminates the efficiency of the system. Water will find its way through any little hole. Air will find its way through any little hole. And so anyway,
Can rodents chew it?
Unfortunately, rodents are the bane of any kind of liner system. So we don't warranty against pests. So we don't have that many issues with it, but for homeowners that have pest issues or rodent issues, they do have to get their pest control to set up some kind of plan to deal with the rodents, because we have seen that rodents can chew through wood, they can chew through liner, they can chew through into foam, they like to nibble on stuff. And so we don't have that many issues, but for those clients that do have rodent issues, they do have to get that addressed with their termite or pest control company.
So when Low Country Foundation Repair is encapsulating the crawl space, you're another way to put it is you're enclosing the crawl space and making it kind of instead of there being you're covering up the air vents that most crawl spaces have. Instead of there being airflow, you're cutting off the airflow, and then you're putting in the dehumidifier, and so it takes out all the moisture and it does the dehumidifier does that cost a lot of money to run?
It does not. It's an Energy Star rated unit. It can take humidity and moisture out of the air up to 100 pints of water a day. I think I don't have the number for what the actual cost is per year, but it's really low. I don't want to just say a number.
You'll end up saving money though, because you're not going to have the drafty wood floors that are on the first floor above the crawl space, and I would imagine it's going to help reduce your energy costs in general, just because it's instead of that crawl space being very hot during the summer or freezing cold during the winter, it's a conditioned space more or less, right?
Yeah, so a lot of people don't know this, but crawl spaces in general, and I think you asked me about this, I didn't really allude on it, but crawl spaces in general are cool, okay? So if you were to take a thermometer and go outside, dig a little hole, go just down a little bit, and put a thermometer in the ground, you will have like 50 to 60 degree, somewhere in that range, between 54 to 60 something degree soil. Okay, so a lot of crawl spaces are actually cool in most cases. So once we encapsulate and the doors and everything's closed, when we have people go underneath to service our crawl spaces, they notice that the temperature now is in the normal, like 70 degrees on, 68 to 74 degrees. That's the norm for a crawl space that's encapsulated. The reason why people have changes in temperature, like you said, was because of the openings. But a house has what we call stack effect. So if you're heating your house, where does all the hot air go? What does hot air do?
Rises.
It rises. So it changes the pressure of a house. So where does it make up for all that hot air that's going out the attic? It's sucking it from the crawl space, through the floors, through the vents, near the vents, any opening, any wires that pop through a wall, little outlets. It's sucking that air into the vents, which is freezing cold outside in the really cold winter time, and it's sucking it into the house. So like the perimeter of the house, you end up feeling like you're on tile floor. You're like, man, floors are cold. My feet are freezing, and it's winter time. Well, a lot of people see the same problem in the summer, which, why is it in summer? Well, your attic is 150 degrees. It's like a furnace of trying to release that air through your ridge vent, and then you have makeup air through your eaves, but if it's not enough, where does it get that air from? It's pulling it from the house, your nice cold air that you paid for, and it's pulling it up through the crawl space and into your house. And so crawl spaces are always sucking air in until someone changes that.
Right. We're almost out of time, Rob, but I did want to ask you quickly, what happens if a homeowner has foundation flood vents if they're in a flood zone, and also what should they do if they have a termite contract with a pest control company?
Absolutely. So that's a very good question. So if you're in a floodplain, we have a product called flood vents, and we have a insulating backing that is activated by water in the event of a flood anomaly, so a large storm surge. So you can still encapsulate your crawl space. You just have to have a flood vent. We call them smart vents. And you need to do what's called a solid insulated vent. So it's a solid insulated vent, but there's a backing because there's still air leakage around it that goes on the back. And it's essentially air sealed until water activates and pushes the small blocks out. And then that item would have to be replaced after a flood event, and the cleanup would have to be done. But you can change the environment and save your home in both ways. You don't have to worry about whether you are sacrificing one for the other. And then you said the other question. The first one was about flooding. The other one was about, what was the other question?
Termite contract.
So we always recommend that a homeowner consult their termite company. If they have a Centricon system where it's a baiting system, normally it doesn't matter. But if they have a traditional treatment system, which not very many homeowners that I know have that old system anymore, then you're going to need to have a treatment either recently or have one done, because every 10 years or so, those treatment systems have to be redone. And in that case, they have to pay us to come back, pull the liner back for treatment. So it's always the homeowner's responsibility to make sure that their termite bond is updated, and that if they're a treatment system, they have to get a treatment before we come out and do the work.
Gotcha. Well, very good information, Rob. How can folks get more information about Low Country Foundation Repair? How can they reach you?
Yeah, they can find us on the web, Low Country Foundation Repair. They can go and give our company a call. There's a lot of information about us that's easily accessible. There's a lot of YouTube videos that are out there about our company and some of the work that we've done. There's, I don't know, 40 or 50 customer video testimonials, maybe more than that now, that are on our website, lowcountryfoundationrepair.com. I believe that's, yep. Let me make sure that's right.
LowCountryFoundationRepair.com, and local phone number is 843-836-3377. Well, good deal, Rob. We have been talking with Rob Vidian with Low Country Foundation Repair. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot for taking the time to talk with me. I really appreciate it. I'm very passionate about what we do, and we have an amazingly great team. So making you happy you chose us, Low Country Foundation Repair.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.